you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy. He alone is the reason we come together and do this broadcast. And you folks, you get to serve a great God, and we get to minister through this and be on the radio. Thank you for tuning in to radios. The radio stations are ever growing, and we're just so honored that you'd be part of this and you tune in and make sure you thank them. And if you listen to us another way, make sure you thank the people who let you listen to us another way. We got Kevin with us, and I thought, you know, we'd get just a tidbit of information out of Kevin before we get going this morning. And Kevin, so tell us now, you were born and raised. Why don't you give us born, raised high school kind of thing?
All right. Well, I was born at a very early age.
Yeah, me too.
I was born in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And I was the first 4 years of my life were in a town along the river called Duncannon. And then my dad, who was my mother and father were both farmers. They both were raised on farms on either side of a mountain in Perry County, but they moved to Cumberland County when I was about four. Well, I was four, and they moved. My dad took a job down there at a can manufacturing facility. Actually, he already had the job, but anyway, they moved. And in the late 60s. So, yeah, I was raised in Enola, Pennsylvania, and went to, it's E-N-O-L-A, like the Enola Gay Airplane. And then I was went to the East Pennsboro School District. And my big activity there was band. I was a big trumpet dude and ended up being first trumpet, first chair. And, you know, you're there and people challenge you and you get bumped out and you challenge them back and you get bumped up. Anyway, then went off to college and played in the band there for a while too. But I got saved between my junior and senior year of high school, and it radically changed my life from the inside out. And I had peace and joy and was no longer an idiot, a bully getting in trouble at school. I was at rest.
Yeah, that's a blessing. And folks, as we continue on, we're looking at another miracle of a demon-possessed guy. This guy is blind and mute, and Jesus heals him. And as we've been looking at these miracles, it allows us, as we do an exegetical study, to look at the miracle and what God, how God, how strong and powerful God is, how compassionate and merciful God is, how wonderful God is, and how people from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, or Voluntown, Connecticut, who went to the East School District and played trumpet. I didn't play trumpet. I played football, baseball. But this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that our God is so merciful. So today I want to talk about mercy. And we're going to be looking at this miracle in 1222 here in a little while. But when we think about mercy, we can also think of the word compassionate, right? And in be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiven one another, even as God, for Christ's sakes, has forgiven you. And what a great verse that is, this whole idea of being tender-hearted. I want to be tender. Sometimes I pray, Lord, I just want to be tender. I want to be tender to people. I want to be that person that listens to people. So today, Debbie and I ran by the grocery store. You know, when we come home after a week, once in a while, we have to run by. And we ran over to our local grocery store, honestly, no more than a quarter of a mile from our home. And we went in there, and the lady who always rings us out was in her 70s. She told me one time, I made no money. I invested nothing right. I did nothing right in my life. And I have to work full time at 70 something years old. And I always tell her, but you're making a difference in my life. And today I looked at her and she was a little bit bent over, and I said, is everything all right? Are you feeling okay? And she looked at me and she said, you know, Doug, I had emergency appendectomy last week. And this is my first day back at work. And I said, she said, thanks for asking. I said, well, I'm praying for you, but you're doing great. And thanks for waiting on me. Be tenderhearted. Always be tender. Be tender to God's word. Be tender to God's people. be tender. Over in Mark 6:34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and he was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And so, folks, when we think about being tender, it means forgiven. When we think about being tender, it means we look at how God has forgiven us and how we can do that for other people. When we think about being tender, you know what kind of takes us out of our comfort zone? You know what I mean, Kevin? Tender is, especially in a manly case. We talked about women a couple days ago, that they always have a friend that'll bail them out of jail, even though they'll never go to jail. But when we think men, we're just the opposite of tender, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the word I'm kind of looking up is mercy. And, you know, the Bible does talk about tender mercies. It's the tender mercies of our Lord. And the first mention of mercy or merciful is Genesis 19:16. And this talks about the tender mercy, patience, compassion of God, Jehovah God. This is talking about Lot being saved from the fire of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, and while he lingered, the men, that is angels, evacuating angels, laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. So there was a load of mercy being dumped extra his way, and it was because they had a mission, like we talked about the other day, and their mission was to save these people. Abraham, the uncle, was somewhere else praying to God for Lot. And so God evidently sent these people on a mission to look at what was going on, and kind of do a recon. And then again, Lot was part of the mission that was tagged on. Go get these people, extract them, do a quick extraction, save these people. You can just see military strategy here. So beautiful, going down to scope things out. And while they're there, grab a hold of a few innocent people and evacuate them. So he barely made it out, but the Lord was merciful in saving him from the fire. And that is exactly like in my testimony, I mentioned God was merciful to me. He had tender compassion. I know my grandfather was praying for me. He was burdened. He used to do a light amount of witnessing to me. He'd sing the song about, something about rescue the perishing and that kind of thing. And so he was trying to rescue me. He was on a mission, and I just wanted nothing to do with it. But I remember driving my car with a buddy, Steve, and I was going 100 miles an hour on a back road. I think it was a 25-mile-per-hour zone. I was just a knuckleheaded student, and the car left the ground. It was a big Dodge Chrysler Newport, I think. It left the ground. It was a Titanic, and we almost slammed into something. But God saved me. I would have gone straight to hell. 16 years old, knew, had a new license, almost died. What happened? God was merciful. And I'm a salvaged piece of God's mercy and object of his mercy, being a Christian. And you know what? Lost people are the object of God's mercy. God has a tender heart. And Doug, there's too many times I'll go to a store, I'm in a hurry. I'm not thinking about the guy behind the counter. I'm not thinking about this person. I'm not thinking about the guy on the sidewalk outside. If I do, I'm like, well, man, I just don't have time to stop and engage this person. Man, I want to be driven with tender compassion and mercy, because then I won't quit when they reject. I won't be demoralized when they say no. I won't pass the opportunity by, because I'll have the tender mercies of the Lord.
Yeah, that's so good. And understanding just those tender mercies, just being gentle. You know, there's something to be said, folks, about being gentle, being a gentle man, being a gentle lady, just being gentle with people, just going out of your way and caring, you know, just like, oh. And you know what I've found out? I have to listen to people sometimes a couple times tell me their story. Sometimes if someone says something to me, I'll go back and say, so what you're saying is, or, oh, I'm so sorry to hear this. I want to make sure that I have it right. Just be real gentle with people. You know, just walk up to people in a way that's gentle. So they're not like, hey, here comes this person and they look mad, you know. And don't be that person. I used to go to church with a woman. She was mad from the time you saw her. And I went to church with this other guy. He would tell you he built the church all by himself. Every single time you saw him, he'd remind you that he was putting a roof on. Then we pulled out all the pictures from 40 years earlier, and he wasn't in one of them. So I went and got him and said, where are you? But that wasn't being very gentle. Be gentle. And then be, you know, and tenderhearted. It has this feeling of being sentimental with people too. When people tell you about their, like Kevin just talking about his grandfather, that mattered to me. I'm glad to hear his grandfather saying to him, you know, be sentimental with people. Have a sentimental nature about things people have been through, things they've done in their life. Be thankful for that. Compliment them on them. Love that. And man, that makes you different, folks. And you know what it does? It shows that God is in your heart. Hey, listen, we'll be right back with you.
Doug will return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
Well, I tell you, life is complicated enough without having knuckleheads. Let's have a campaign of no knuckleheadedness in 24, or at least try to have no knuckleheadedness in 24. Let's be gentle, tenderhearted, be sentimental about people in their lives. Listen to them, care about them, and really learn from it, man. You should be, you know, someone told me one time, you should be able to write a book about your love interest, your best friends, your pastor. You should be able to write a biography about them. And I'm telling you, folks, I want to be that person. I want to be tenderhearted. I want to be gentle. I want to be sentimental. I want to care. Be that person. And so we find ourselves over in Matthew 12:22 as we continue on with our exegetical verse-by-verse study of the life of Christ. And we're going through the miracles. And the miracles we're at right now are found in Matthew 12:22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. I'll tell you, there's a song out there, Kevin. I was telling you about it, that one song. I was working in town one afternoon, and there was commotion. He ran outside, and he said, Ask the
blind man, he saw
it all. He saw it all. Yeah, there's the song. Yeah. He Saw It All is the name of their song by the Booth Brothers or something. And folks, here's a guy. Can you imagine not being able to speak and not be able to see? And then all of a sudden, this beautiful, magnificent, even in the middle of the desert over there, this beautiful, magnificent world and these people around you are in vision. They're cleared in. But, you know, I think a couple things came to my mind, okay? The man brought to Jesus, think about him. He's being described as being, you know, demon-possessed, being blind, being able to, unable to speak at all, not able to talk, not able to form words, none of that. But the severity of his situation is crazy. We just did, a couple days ago, we talked about a man that was dumb and possessed by a devil. He couldn't speak, and he was possessed by a devil. And this guy, it's even more of a severe situation. And you would think, you know, remember the Bible says, you know, there's not enough room on earth to write down everything God did on this earth. There's not enough books, you couldn't do it. So this is going on all the time, I think. I think, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're writing some things down, and they're maybe not everywhere Christ is. But, you know, again, Jesus healing, it's so divine. It's so, you know, there's no prejudice among it about anybody. Not a demon-possessed guy, not a guy we don't like hanging around with, not the guy everybody in town tells you not to go near. When I was young, I had an Uncle Dick, and this guy was a knucklehead, man, and everybody was certain he was going to rape kids or something like that. And, you know, I could remember, even in the yard, this guy would come over. I don't know why my parents let him over, but they'd give you warning symbols. You know, they would look at you kind of like, get away from Dick, you know, whatever you do, don't be alone with that guy. And You can't tell me that this isn't one of those guys that they're saying stay away from. This guy's like the maniac of Gadara, man. He can't talk. He's probably can't see. He's probably making some strange noises. He's miserable. But you know, God doesn't care. He says, you know what? I'm prejudice free. I'm going to take care of this guy. And you know, again, Jesus is showing the whole crowd, I'm Messiah. I'm the Son of God. No one else is. This isn't about some healer. Remember, healers back in the day, there were people who called themselves healers and not doctors or actual doctors too. We know that with Matthew. And this is kind of cool because here's a doctor talking about this healing miracle. But healers, you had to have a ton of money to even get them to try to heal you. These were some of the richest people in society. Some of the worst things you could do is read Christian history. And these folks, but here's Christ freely, and the only one that can really heal them, just walking around showing this compassion, showing this mercy, being merciful, being gentle, being tenderhearted, being loving, caring about people. And but again, you know, this is what's catching me here, Kevin, as I get ready to pass this to you. Again, somebody brought this guy, and I got to tell you, you know, I'm saved today because somebody brought me to a guy. I'm saved today because someone brought a chaplain to me. I'm saved today, and I know God chooses those things, but my instructor at the United States Army Sergeant Major's Academy, Ollie Nethkin, went out of his way to bring a chaplain to me and have everybody leave the room. Somebody brought me to Jesus. And Kevin, we need to bring people to Jesus. Just bring them to Jesus.
Yeah. Well, this ties in so well with the topic you chose earlier, mercy, tender compassion. This person here was in a silent, you know, Helen Keller comes to mind, and it doesn't specifically say this person couldn't hear, but this person was dumb. And, you know, many times the people that couldn't speak also had a big hearing issue.
Yeah.
But either way, and I didn't compare, I didn't harmonize with other gospels to find out any more information. But what I do know is that Jesus recognized this person, and it's you could just easily read this between the line. He went to that person. Well, actually, someone brought him, like you were saying, brought him to Jesus. So someone facilitated the contact of this person with Jesus Christ. And many times that, like my grandfather, that's the difference maker. That is what makes, of all the many, many, many people, none of us who deserve salvation, none of us who deserve help. We're in the throes of sin. We're in the prison house of sin. But someone brought this person to Jesus Christ, and they cared. And we talked about intercession, and intercession is when we tell God, look, I know you care. I want you to know I care. Will you move on the behalf of this person? And they did that. They brought this person to Jesus Christ, and the difference it made was fantastic. Helen Keller could not hear or see, and she described being in a dayless prison. Just a place where you just didn't know morning, night. You couldn't hear. They had her in a cage, basically. They treated her like an animal because she could not communicate. She was unresponsive other than to touch. And a woman named Ann Sullivan got a burden for her. And under this burden, she went to the cage and began to use goodness, giving food, helping, touching, to associate the good things of life with a person that cares, so that Helen understood caring and mercy and tender compassion. And from there, she easily became acquainted with the reality of God, because if someone was sent to care for this much, there must be a sender, and the sender of people like that is God. And Jesus Christ took her, and he did not heal Helen, but he used her because she learned how to communicate. And it's miraculous stories. Yeah. But Jesus Christ has a heartbeat, and that's what he did. The person that was blind and dumb, was Jesus got blamed for healing him again afterwards by the Pharisees. But the people were amazed at Jesus' love. And Doug, I want to show people that Jesus is amazing.
Oh, me too, brother. That's so good. And Helen Keller, you know, you can't help but think of Fanny Crosby, the great hymn writer from 1820 to 1915, gets saved. And she's labeled the queen of gospel songwriters. I mean, could you imagine some of the hymns she wrote? Where would we be without some of them? Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Blessed assurance. Praise him, praise him. Rescue the perishing. To God be the glory. And talking, you know, here I am living a life, I'm blind. And instead of feeling like, hey, my life's in ruin, God, what can I do for you? So you know what else she did? She wrote 1,000 secular poems. And folks, she wrote 4 more books. I'll never forget reading about her in seminary. It changed my life. That's what Kevin's saying. Mm-hmm. You know, Christ can change things. Bring people to Christ. Bring them to Christ. Drag them in. Bring them in. Bring them in. Oh, I wish I could sing, but I can't. Folks, make sure you come back tomorrow. Maybe we can sing Bring Them In for you. But may God bless you. We'll be with you tomorrow. All right, may God bless. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.